And good Friday morning, Friday, October the 5th, 2018, first Friday in October of 2018. This is Over the Back Fence with Pastor Steve Whitaker and Scott Spears, myself here. Now, before we get into this week's program, we've got some very interesting, entertaining guests for you today. It's going to be a great show, but I want to remind you that this show replays every Sunday morning from 9:10 to 10 a.m. and Tuesday, 6:10 to 7 p.m. And of course, Pastor Whitaker has another show here on the station, The Pastor Spot, which airs live every Tuesday, 5:10 to 6 p.m., Wednesday, 3:10 to 4 p.m., and Sunday morning, 8:10 until 9 p.m. Pastor Whitaker, first Friday in October, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
And here we are for another Friday morning.
Beautiful fall morning, isn't it?
Oh, you can feel it.
You know, speaking of fall, we have our fall festival in the park, Community Christian Fellowship does. It's in Prospect, Sunday from 3 to 6. And there's no cost involved. Bring your children, bring your family, bring anyone that would like to come, even maybe an older mom and dad that would like to get out. We have hay rides and plenty of food. I know there's some going to be some really good chili brewing up over there. And there's games and face painting and just so much fun. It'll be a wonderful day of our fall worship in the park. But you're welcome to come. Just pull into Prospect Park, you will not miss it. You'll find it. It's right there in the middle. So that'll be a great thing to do.
Now, what are the times on this on Sunday?
From 3 o'clock in the afternoon till 6 o'clock in the evening. So please come. If you can't make it, but you know of a family this could benefit, that maybe that could get out, you know, this is something that, you're not going to have. You can spend some family time and not spend any money in the process. So let people know. Let people know about it. It'd be great.
It's a great thing. Beginning of October, here we are.
I think so. And we're getting ready to kick off our team kit at the church, which is for kids age 3 through 6th grade. And that is every other Tuesday, the second and fourth Tuesday of the month, from 6:30 in the evening till 8 o'clock. And it's just a fun game time for kids. And you're welcome to bring your kids. Anyone can. 209 East Water Street. But at the same time, I do pizza with Pastor for the older kids, which is high school, junior high and high school kids, middle school, I guess they call that now, don't they?
They do.
I spend that time and we have pizza and they get to talk about whatever enters their mind. So
now, what are some of the conversations that go on during pizza with Pastor?
You know, that's interesting. They can be anything. A lot of times it is literally a current that day event. Something going on, maybe it's in the news, maybe it's something going on at school. Maybe we talk about all kinds of subjects. We talk about bullying. We talk about dating. We talk about cliques. We talk about homework. We talk about courses they take. You know, maybe they don't. Maybe they think this course makes no sense. Whatever comes up, we talk about the Bible. We talk about church, dating. All these things come up, and so I've got to be ready to field about anything and everything, and it's a lot of fun. We've been doing it about 5 years now.
That's good because I think sometimes other than parents. People do look to other people to talk about these important issues in their life.
Right.
And that's
and
great.
Sometimes, to be honest with you, kids will open up to someone outside of the home quicker than they will a parent, which they should with their parents. And I don't mean to say for a minute that they shouldn't. They absolutely should, and I encourage them to do so. But sometimes there's things that it's easier to break to another adult first before it goes home. So that happens, too.
Well, I've with like guidance counselors in school, I know they hear about a lot more things than sometimes the parents do.
Sure they do.
And one reason for that, I think, is that the student or child is asking, what do you think the best way is to approach my parents with this?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And another thing is, too, I've got to walk this delicate line between the confidentiality of talking with this young person and something, is this probably serious enough that I need to pass it on to mom and dad if they don't? So, you know, you walk that fine line, but, you know, there's some things that, you know, this is serious stuff. You know, if a child or a young person starts talking about injuring themselves, I can't just keep that to me.
And, oh, of course
you
not.
Know, something of that. And we have time that conversation, too, so pretty interesting.
Now, you've brought some guests in today.
I did bring some guests this morning. It's kind of a twofold thing for me. I've been wanting to get Julia here on the show for a while. I was going to bring her on the Tuesday show, but it just so happened that today she and her brother Liam are out of school. And I have them for a few hours this morning, and I thought this would be a great time to introduce Julia to the community and talk a little bit about her situation. This is Julia Cabe. She's 11 years old, and her brother's with her, Liam Cabe. Mm-hmm. Liam, how old are you?
Six.
Six. Liam's six.
January will be seven.
Soon to be seven in January. Seven. Okay.
Not January. October.
October. Okay. Julia is... was born with spina bifida. And for those of you that don't know what spina bifida is, spina bifida is a condition that is caused by a depletion of folic acid in a mother during the time that the child's in utero. And what happens is the lining over the top of the spinal cord doesn't completely develop in a certain spot and close up. When a child is in the fetus stage, that is exposed. And as they grow and develop, the skin and the lining, the protective lining over your spinal cord and all those nerves grows solid and grows across. Well, with spina bifida, and folic acid is needed for that. And sometimes if it's not caught, in this case, the doctor didn't catch that depletion. Depletion is not that common, but what happens is usually it'll be a spot about the size of a quarter to a half dollar somewhere on the spine. In Julia's case, it is lower back, right above her pelvic girdle. And when she was born, it just was wide open to her spine. And what happens is typically they normally will have paralysis from that point down. So if a child has a spina bifida, and they call it their myelocyte, if their myelocyte is up around their shoulders, you can really have severe problems with breathing and all different, anything from that point down. But in Julia's case, Julia is completely fine from her waist up and from her waist down. She has periodic sensation feeling, but she does not have it. Julia uses crutches.
Yes.
And she uses her wheelchair, but she doesn't feel her feet. And another thing of that condition when they're born is they're usually born with hydrocephalus, because what happens is everyone has fluid buildup on their brain, and it naturally absorbs down through the body. When you have spina bifida, that's not there. So they have to put a shunt in, and the shunt will go from the back of the head. It goes usually down the neck, around the front, and dumps into the abdomen. And a lot of times kids have those shunts plug. It's very common. Julia has a dual shunt. Typically, one side will drain to the other hemisphere of the brain, but in her case, they didn't want to, so they put a dual in. And Julia is one of those rare children. Julia is 11 years old now, and she has never had a shunt malfunction since she was an infant. In infancy, she had several surgeries, but since then, I'll just fill you in on a few surgeries, and then we'll talk about what Julia does a little bit more. Yeah. Julia has had several surgeries. She's had one to straighten her spine. She has had one to put her femur and the ball of her femur back in her hip socket, because that's typical, it'll come out. And they had to take muscle from around her abdomen and bring them down, wrap around her leg to pull it back up in. And then a year later, she had the other leg done. So it's left her. Julia used to fly around on crutches until these surgeries, which left her very, very weak, but they had to be done. Mm-hmm. So she's had a lot of trouble getting her strength back in those legs since those surgeries. But she has had those. And she's had a couple other surgeries that, you know, I won't really get into. But you know, Julia, for all practical purposes, is not just a typical 11-year-old, but she is one that excels in many areas, and we'll get into some of that. Mm-hmm. So, Julia. Someone wanted to talk to you, didn't they, Julia?
Yes, they did.
We better shut this phone down, right?
Yes, please.
All right, there we go. All done. Julia, I refer to you as a student athlete. What makes you a student athlete?
Well, I'm a good sport.
What sports do you play most of?
Hockey.
What kind of hockey?
Sled hockey.
Can you tell us a little bit about sled hockey?
Well, I'm on a sled, and I have a helmet, a knee some knee pads, and some elbow pads, and some chest pads.
What makes this puck go?
I have hockey sticks, and I have some picks on the end of my sticks that make me go on my sled.
So, yeah, it's pretty neat, Scott, what she's explaining is they have, instead of one hockey stick, you use two. And there's something that would resemble large saw teeth on the ends of them. Not the hammer end, but the blunt end. And they use those to propel the sled on the ice.
Oh.
And it's a monorail, or a mono ski. It's very like a single ice skate, so they can tip and turn, and they actually get quite good at this.
I can imagine. Now, well, where do you play at?
I play at the Dublin Chiller.
Oh, great. Now, how many kids are on your team?
Like 6 or 7.
6 or 7. That's great. Is it a good team?
Yes.
All right. How many do you keep score?
Yes, I do.
How much have you scored?
Like
the most you've ever scored?
5.
5. Now, what is the average that kids usually score?
They usually score 10.
Now, do you play?
You're
other
talking
teams?
About as a team, right?
Yeah,
right,
as a team.
Right, a team. Do you play other teams?
Yes, I do.
Now, how often do you get a chance to play?
Like every time.
Every time it happens.
Yeah.
That's right. Now, how many other teams are there? Do you know?
No.
No, but a few other teams.
Yeah.
That's great. Now, is this something that's done through the school or privately?
Privately.
Privately.
Yeah, I would add to that COSBA, Central Ohio Spina Bifida Association, is deeply involved in this, and it's a great program. It brings all these young athletes out and gets them involved in things. The hockey program that she's in, this is something that any child with spina bifida can do. There is a way to make it happen. And they play a lot of other sled hockey teams. They do a lot. They do exhibition games. They've actually been on the ice with the Blue Jackets several times, and they've got to meet the Blue Jackets.
We played on the Blue Jackets ice before.
Oh, very cool.
They've
been on the ice. Yeah, they've been on ice several times with the Blue Jackets. And who's your favorite player?
Sergei Bobrovsky.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he helps you guys a lot, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's a real big supporter.
He's playing tonight. My dad's going to their game.
You know, I went to a Blue Jackets game earlier on this year. It's fun to go to those games. They're fun to watch. There's not a bad seat anywhere, and it's a great organization.
You know what's great about the sled hockey is these young people, the only thing they all have in common is as far as a disability would be, is not having the function of their legs to be able to skate upright. But beyond that, these kids are all different. They're fun, hardworking, different personalities. There's a young lady that plays with them that has been on the U.S. sled hockey Olympic team, and I've watched her, and it just blows me away. She is so fast on that ice and so good on that sled. I'd encourage people to go to a game. They're fun to watch. These kids fly. Once they get good at it, Julia's getting to the point she moves around pretty good on that sled. The first time we watched her, it was kind of like, is she going to be able to do this? But then you start getting confidence, and you do it more and more, and you know, she's getting quite good at it. But it's they're an athlete in every sense of the word when they're out there. This year, I think you're going to Tampa.
Yeah.
Last year, you went to a huge meet in Canada.
Yeah.
Right?
It was just me and my dad in Canada.
Just you and your dad in Canada. Now, another thing Julia does is COSBA, Central Ohio Spina Bifida Association, also has every year what they call a walk, run, roll.
I had a 5K last week.
She did a 5K last week. Where'd you finish?
I finished first in my 11 to 14 class.
Well, congratulations.
And that is with a, she has a special bicycle that has hand, where you typically would see the sprocket at the bottom. It's at the top because she uses her hands. And she wanted her division in that 5K. And they, this is something that, that I would encourage people to get involved in. They do this every year, and anyone can go. I mean, there were people out there that are just typically competitive runners. So there's all types of age groups. There's bicycle, there's wheelchair, there's people that walk, people that run, and they have divisions for all of that, and it's timed, and it's a great way to come out and support them. They have a great raffle at the end. Did you get anything in the raffle this year?
No.
No, they, you didn't? Oh, it's
no,
a bummer,
I didn't.
Isn't it? You did? What'd
you
get? You
got a dog.
A dog?
A dog. A real dog?
No, fake dog.
Oh, okay. Okay, so you got a fake dog. But anyway, this is something, another event that COSBA does. And it's just great to get them out. Now, there's something else I wanted to bring up that Julia did a couple years ago that was just so cool. There is a association called Athletes Helping Athletes. And what this association does is they provide bicycles, very, very expensive custom bicycles for people with different disabilities all over the country. And this is a very expensive thing because these bikes, you know what it costs to build custom stuff. And Julia, you got to do something a couple years ago, didn't you? Where did they take you?
They took me...
You remember? Disneyland.
They took me to Disneyland.
Oh.
And she went to California. Julia was the spokesman that year for Athletes Helping Athletes. She was on the cover of their magazine, and she was on TV. She did some neat promotional things, and they team up with Roadrunner Sports. If you've heard of Roadrunner Sports, they sell a lot of running shoes and those kind of things. And Roadrunner Sports had her on all their posters when they came in, and she was their national cover girl for a year, 4 years ago.
Yeah, they gave me that bicycle.
Oh, that's nice. Awful nice of them.
And that's the bicycle you raced the other day, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the bicycle I raced the other day.
Now, what was Disneyland like?
It had a lot of rides. And my aunt lives in Florida, so we came down to see her.
Oh, well, that's nice. You get to visit and then go to Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what was your favorite ride?
The roller coaster.
Oh, the roller coaster. A lot of people love those roller coasters. Did you get to see a lot of the characters? Like
yeah,
Mickey
I did.
Mickey Mouse?
Yeah.
Who's your favorite?
Minnie Mouse.
Minnie Mouse. Oh, isn't that something? Florida's a nice place to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you have an aunt who lives down there?
Yeah, I do.
That's great.
Aunt and uncle.
Aunt and uncle.
I made a mistake. You went to California with...
Oh, yeah. California with...
That's when they did the photo shoot, right?
Yes.
That was a lot of fun, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Julia, Liam's here, your brother. We haven't let him say much, but...
Yeah, my brother's here.
But what are some things that you guys get to do together?
We race in our driveway on our bikes.
Who wins?
Yeah.
My brother.
But it's still fun to do.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. Now, do you get along, brother
yes.
and sister?
Yes, we do.
Oh, that's nice. Mm-hmm. That's nice. Now, what things do you like to do, Liam?
Play baseball.
Oh, baseball. Now, are you on a team?
Yeah.
Now, where do you play at?
Prospect Park and some other places. Like
he plays at Prospect Park, Elgin sometimes.
River Valley. You get around.
Yeah.
Julia has a... what are some other things you do together? What do you do on Sunday together? Guys, what do you do Sunday morning?
Sunday morning, we wake up, we hug each other sometimes.
Yep.
Where do you go?
Sunday. Church.
So you're in church together?
Yeah.
Does Liam like to sing?
Yes, he does.
Who sings louder, you or Liam?
Liam.
You think so?
Yes.
I don't.
Yes.
I don't. For being an observer, I think you sing the loudest. Well, yeah. she sings. She sings loud, doesn't she?
Yeah, I do.
In a microphone.
Yeah, and he covers his ears because of me.
Julia's always been a real bright spot in people around. She just is enjoyable to be around. Always had this bubbly personality, and you know, it's a blessing. You know, in having Julia here, I can honestly say that you know, all kids are such a blessing. And one thing that is true of her parents, and I know so many others, is that when parents get plugged into their child, however they are, however they're born, whatever they look like, whatever abilities or perceived disabilities they may have, when they get plugged into their lives, they have great lives together. And sometimes you'll hear parents say, and people can't always understand this, I wouldn't have them any other way, because they're made special in so many ways. And sometimes just the things they do. I know Julia, and I can say this with her here, has been such an encouragement to people that are dealing with difficulties. Yeah. Because there's things that she deals with every day, and people see that. In school, she's one of, you know, there aren't very many kids that are in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Or using.
I'm the only kid in the wheelchair in fifth grade.
Yeah. Yep.
But, you know, that's all right, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That's all right, isn't it? You do a lot of neat things, don't you? What are some other things you like to do, Julia?
Eat.
Eat.
Oh, what's your favorite food?
Pizza.
11-year-old, it has to be.
It has to be pizza.
Yes, it does.
Now, there's something else you do for 4-H. What's that?
I take bunnies. I did blood working this year.
Oh.
And I made a picture frame.
So creative. Mm-hmm. Like to do creative things. That's very nice.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about your garden.
Well, I grow carrots this year and beans this year. And I also grow potatoes and tomatoes.
Did they come out good?
Yes, they did.
Did you eat them?
Yes, we did.
Do you like all those things?
Yes.
What do you like on your pizza?
Pepperoni.
What's your favorite part about church?
Singing.
Have you been going to church since you were a...
baby, yes.
Yeah, little baby?
Yes.
Yeah. Fun time to go? Do you look forward to going every Sunday?
Yes.
Yeah. What's your favorite church song?
I don't actually have a favorite, but all of them are my favorite.
Well, that's great.
She sings anything. She loves to sing and always
has.
Yeah,
I do.
Anything that's there.
Anything that's there.
I sing really loud.
Super loud.
My brother covers his ears because of me.
Yeah, we have a piano.
Oh, you have a piano?
Yeah.
You know how to play piano?
Yeah, I do.
Wow.
I do better than him.
See, that's one of my goals, is to learn how to play the piano. So
mine
you're up
too.
On me. I haven't gotten there yet.
I haven't gotten there yet either. I started lessons a year ago and it kind of petered out, you know, but I'm still trying it a little bit. You know, something neat her dad did was he built a raised bed in the shape of a U. A large U, and it was just high enough for so that she could sit in her wheelchair and tend her garden.
Yeah, sit in my wheelchair and get my vegetables with no problem.
Well, that is great.
And it's just 2 feet deep, so she can reach over and work with them and do those kind of things.
Yeah.
We had a monster carrot.
Oh, big carrot.
I had a monster carrot.
A monster carrot.
It looked like Poppy. It was almost as big as Poppy's head.
Oh, my. That is a big carrot.
Yes, it is.
Now, what'd you do with that carrot?
We still have it at our house.
Oh, you kept it?
Yes, we kept it.
That's
I think
good.
I ate it.
Oh. Now, do you have a rabbit?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah.
Like, we have two rabbits.
What are their names?
Mine's Rumple and his is Thunder.
Yep.
Oh, very
or
nice.
Or Lightning.
Do you have any dogs?
We have two dogs.
Two.
One's name is
We have
Lucy.
A corgi that is...
And one's name is Cal.
Two. Her name is Callie. And then the beagle
is seven.
Is like seven or
She's
ten.
Seven.
And...
Her name's Lucy.
Yep.
Now you go to Elgin?
Yes.
Yes.
And what are your grades like?
I got, I hope I get A's and B's.
Good. Good. Do you get a lot of homework?
Yes.
Yeah. What's your favorite subject?
I get none.
No homework?
Reading.
Reading. Do you have a favorite book?
Descendants.
Oh, now what's that about? I don't know that one.
It's about villain kids who came to Ordon.
Wow. It's called The Descendants.
Yes.
They turn nice.
Yes, they do.
Now, Liam, what's your favorite subject?
And he's in first grade, if you don't know that.
First grade?
One of the specials, it's gym.
Oh, gym.
Surprise, surprise.
I understand.
Mine too.
I understand. Well, what's your favorite? What do you like to do in gym?
Run.
Run?
Mm-hmm.
That's nice. Elgin's a nice school.
Yes, it is.
Very nice school.
There's so many kids out there, and there's so many things available for these kids today. Julia's going to be starting track next year.
Yeah, I'm going to be starting track next year.
And her track will involve wheelchair racing.
Yeah,
obviously.
Yeah, and I'm getting a track chair sometime next year.
So she's going to be staying very active, and it's so great to watch these guys. You know, I'll tell you an interesting story. A friend of mine, David James, a couple years ago, well, it's been about, I think it's been 4 or 5 years ago now, he was right at age 70, had been a big, strapping, strong, healthy guy his entire life. For 70, he was like in the shape of a 35-year-old. But he was standing in a tractor bucket, of all things, trimming limbs out of a tree. He fell and severed his spine. And he's been, wheelchair bound since. He doesn't have any feeling from my, I think it's like mid-back down. And but it's real interesting. I saw him, I've seen him several times in the last year. And he said, I'm living proof that you can build muscle after 70. And this guy went to the gym, and he started working out, and he has got the neck and arms and shoulder of a bodybuilder, and this guy's in his 70s. So, you know, even though there's some things that limit us, they don't have to stop us. And it's so neat to watch people that struggle with things the rest of us take for granted, but yet they still excel. And it kind of tells me, and it tells me that, you know, we can do it. You know, if they can get up and do it, so many things that keep us down. I've known people and I've talked to people that are so down on life because they have a disability in one area or the other. And then there's other people that I look at, like Julia, that just say, just get up and go. And I just want to encourage people that, you know, you can get up and go.
Yeah.
And get out there and keep active and keep moving. That's the key part. And I think Julia will even tell you, and I think her parents will tell you, that it's easy for her to become complacent. The easiest thing Julia can do is to sit in that wheelchair all day and not have to fight to walk.
Yeah.
But,
and I turned 11 this summer.
But, well, she has to get forced to walk sometimes.
Yeah, I do.
Well, you know, it's interesting because all of us in the morning, we get up, oh, man, how are we going to get out of bed? It's another day. We want to stay in bed.
Yeah.
Now, what advice would you give to somebody? Why get up? Why go on?
Yeah. I'd be like, oh, I don't want to get up.
You feel that too?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'd be like, I'm going to get up even though I want to stay in bed.
Yeah.
Julie, what would you tell, as Mr. Scott said, what would you tell people that don't want to get up and get going and make good? What would you tell people? How would you encourage them?
I'll get up and walk.
If you can get up and walk, they can get out of bed, huh?
Yeah, if I can get up and walk, they can get out of bed.
Absolutely.
And I have cousins that live all the way in Marysville, so...
Yeah.
Are you always happy?
Yes, I am.
Well, how do you stay happy? We all need help with that.
When I'm in a good mood.
Do you ever get in a bad mood?
Sometimes.
Sometimes?
When my brother makes me angry.
Now, how do you get out of a bad mood?
When I smack myself.
Well.
I smack myself.
Sometimes we all have to do that, don't we?
Yeah.
We all have to do something, yes. But you know, it's interesting because it's just great to hear about things like this going on, and it sounds like it's growing.
It is growing. The sled hockey is really growing. Like I said, they are planning on having a lot more collegiate teams in the next few years, to the point they can start offering scholarships in sled hockey. It has really taken off and become popular. I would encourage anyone to go. You can go. They have certain times of year you can not only go to the Chiller in Dublin, but you can actually go to Columbus, right where the Blue Jackets play, and they have different events going on there. But you can get online and support that. Go to COSBA, Central Ohio Spina Bifida Association, and look up some of their events and ways that you can support and help. it's kind of a funny story to show you what these kids do. And I was at an exhibition a couple years ago that was actually at the Chiller in Dublin, and they had one of the Dublin schools had their high school hockey team go out, and they put them in sleds, and they had them compete against these kids that did sled hockey, and the kids that did sled hockey just ran circles around these big strapping tall athletic boys, because you know it takes a different skill set to sit in that sled and propel yourself across the ice and keep upright on it. So isn't that interesting?
How long did it take you to learn to?
Like about a year.
A year? Now, what are the things you would have to learn to do this?
How to stay up on my sled.
Balance.
Is it easy to?
Yeah, it's really
turn
easy.
Over?
And I'm actually going to Pittsburgh next weekend for a hockey game.
Are you excited to go to Pittsburgh?
Yes.
Yes. Pittsburgh, a big hockey place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with the Penguins there, that'll be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I have to go.
Oh, yes, he does.
You'll enjoy it.
Yeah, I do.
Do you know yet what you want to be when you grow up?
I got to think about that.
Got to think about it?
I know what I'm going to be when I grow up.
What's that?
A nurse practitioner.
A nurse practitioner. Oh, my. Why a nurse?
Because my Aunt Kelly's a nurse assistant.
And do you like Aunt Kelly?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What's your Aunt Holly do?
What?
What's your Aunt Holly do?
She is a nurse.
She's a nurse in Delaware, huh?
Yeah, she's a nurse in Delaware.
Oh, well, very nice.
She works night shift.
Mm-hmm. Night shift? Now, is there something in particular you like about being a nurse?
No.
No? Just like the idea of it.
Mm-hmm.
I understand. Well, that'll be a lot. I'm sure you'll be a great nurse because you have an upbeat personality.
Mm-hmm.
Keep all those people happy.
I'll tell you, Scott, it's kind of fun having the kids on and talking.
Yeah.
Talking about these different things and, you know, the different talent that all of them have and things they do. And, you know, it's a thing to encourage parents and everyone out there. Boy, your kids, you know, just bring that life out in them because they all have it. And in some area they excel in, you know, that kid that may not come out of his bedroom may be the best artist in the world, and you need to find things to get them involved in. I know that when my kids were young and we were living near the Delaware area, that the Arts Castle had a huge art program for young people. And honestly, Scott, I think if you take any area of interest that a child has, there's something out there that you can plug them into that'll help nurture that and bring it along and help them to grow and challenge them. And I think as parents, sometimes we just have to stop and say, let's look for these things or let's make it a priority. You know, sometimes painting the house might have to wait a year, or you might not be able to get that new car, or even the used car you may need, or whatever the case may be. But I think that if we invest in our young people, it reaps dividends that are unbelievable. I always told my wife, and I always had the attitude that we've always got time for ourselves. You know, let's take what resources we have at this point. I know I invested a lot in my children in agriculture and in FFA and the things they did pertaining to that. And it was because I knew that it was a solid foundation, something for them to sink their teeth into. And it's worked out well. I mean, two of my four kids are very much involved in that today. And, you know, it's so important that we take our kids and give them that time. And as my parents, you know, I'm sure my parents wish they could have given me more time. And but I think that it's just something we can all do. You know, time's cheap. If you really think about it, I mean, I don't mean to limit the fact or you know belittle the fact that there's people that are working around the clock, and I understand that. But I mean, is time doesn't usually cost money. That time that we're sitting at home and maybe we're watching a ball game or we're doing this or we're relaxing, there's no you're not on a per hour basis. And it's priceless, it's just like the commercial says. The time it's priceless, the time you spend with them and do things. Liam, what's something you like to do outside at your pond?
Fish.
Liam loves to fish, and his mom and dad bought a house that had a pond, and that was a huge draw to them because he loves to fish, and his cousins love to fish.
Yeah.
So now every time we go over there for a birthday or something, all these little kids are dragging their poles out, and they're over there catching that same big bass 10 times and throwing him back. But,
yeah,
you know,
well, we actually came from helping Poppy finish his bus route.
Mm-hmm. I helped with that today, didn't I?
Mm-hmm. Well.
But, you know, it's just... You know, stepping out and doing those things. Scott, was there anything that your parents helped you along with when you were?
Oh, they always were. You know, I was just telling somebody the other night, oddly enough, that when I was growing up, there was always time for school plays. There was always time for Halloween. There was always time for Christmas. There was always time for Thanksgiving. I don't think my mother ever missed anything that I ever did. And took me to all the practices and whatever was involved with it. And I guess I realize now that a lot of people don't have that.
They really don't.
And I did. All
they
I did.
Really don't.
And was always encouraged. That's interesting because the reason I was having this conversation with another person about my age was they were talking about how they were never encouraged to do anything more than just pass grades, get through school, and that's it. Well, as far back as I can ever remember, it wasn't even a question that, you know, you were encouraged to do, not forced, but encouraged to do whatever you wanted to do, what you could do, that the sky was the limit.
And that's wonderful that you had that, and what a blessing it was that I can't say that I was ever pushed and encouraged, but I certainly wasn't. For some reason, I grew up with an attitude that I could do anything, and even through a lot of diversity that I went through, real diversity growing up, and you know, losing a father, and our house burnt down when I was just so many things that would affect a lot of people in a negative way. And I was a short kid. And we probably had less money than any kid in the school. But even with all those things, I never for a minute felt that I was less than anyone else. And I always knew that I could accomplish anything that I wanted to. People may have looked down on me, but I never looked down on myself. And that had to have come through my parents.
Well, and I was also thinking the other day something that I hadn't ever thought about, because at the time you don't think about it when you're that age. But my parents were not underly cautious about things. When I think about it now, when I was young, when I was in elementary school, I never was one of the kids who went home alone, went home to an empty house. Back in those days, they called them latchkey.
Yeah, we didn't either.
I didn't. I either went to somebody else's house or somebody picked me up from school who I knew was going to pick me up, and they were a babysitter.
Until what grade?
At least middle school, I would say. Yeah.
My mom should have had someone there from the time until I graduated.
Is that right?
A lot of things might not have happened that happened.
It was interesting because a lot of times in elementary school, I knew a lot of kids who were going home to empty houses.
And they do.
And they do. And a lot of times there wasn't food laid out, you know. A lot of elementary school kids can't cook, or it's not a good idea to if there's no adult in the house. But I went to places where meals were cooked and things were done. So there never was a worry like that for me.
What a blessing you grow up with that. Yeah. So many kids don't. But I have to tell you this, that of all the kids that don't come home to that, I would be willing to bet that if people took the time to try and plan and be proactive in arranging their lives, that most families could make sure that happens.
Well, my parents worked. I mean, both
there
of
you go.
Did.
Yeah, but they made a point to make sure.
They made it a point.
And it can be done. It can happen. And there's so many things people don't take advantage of. Elgin has a great after-school mentoring program that kids can stay after school for. And they'll even bring you home on the bus. You know, I know that we have, Child Evangelism Fellowship has the after-school club on Tuesdays at the schools. You know, kids need to step in and take in. There's a lot of things that kids can do that are positive and that will take their time. 4-H is a great thing. You know, obviously, to me, Sunday school and coming to church is huge for kids and things that they have to offer you know, places of safety you can take your children.
You know what? I went to city schools, and not that I would have chosen to be involved in it, because I don't know that I would have, because I was never a big pet family. That's one thing we weren't. But I never understood. We have 5 school districts in this county, and all of the county schools are offered FFA, but the city schools are not. And the city schools are, what, a mile away from some of these county schools? I never understood why it was never offered to the city schools.
And, you know, maybe, is it still not? I don't know.
I haven't seen it.
It's not?
I don't think
it is. And that doesn't make sense to me, because in FFA now, it's not just Future Farmers of America. FFA now, they have, you can do, in their projects that they do, they're planned throughout their whole time they're in school. You can do lawnscaping. You can do they have individual businesses the kids are going to do through that 4-year period, and they can do all kinds of businesses through it. It's not just animals and farming anymore.
No.
And there's so many things kids can do. There's several kids in FFA that don't live on farms and don't have animals.
Well, even when it was just animals and farming, I never understood why that didn't apply to somebody in the city who might want to do that. Yeah, it was never offered. It was never brought up. And if you don't know it's there, out of sight, out of mind, I guess.
And honestly, the agriculture industry right now could use a lot more awareness. And if you're not brought up in that awareness, you're clueless as to what's going on there, right there.
Well, it's fascinating because ever since open enrollment, which happened long after I was out of public school, the only school in Marion County that's gaining in students is River Valley. Now, River Valley does have an FFA program,
mm-hmm.
and I wonder now how many kids who live in the city are going to River Valley, because you no longer have to pay for that open enrollment used to have to do, and are being exposed to that 20 years ago, 30 years ago, you weren't allowed. I mean, it was a big tariff you had to pay, and they at school had to accept you, and it didn't happen a whole lot.
My grandson just the other day took a doe rabbit and a rabbit pen to a girl that lives in the city of Marion and is open enrolled at Elgin and is in FFA. There's your answer.
There, and we're out of time. Julia, Liam, thank you so much for coming in today. Do want to remind everybody again, if you tuned in the middle or late today, this program will re-air on Sunday morning, 9:10 until 10 a.m., and Tuesday evening, 6:10 to 7 p.m., and it's live every Friday morning from 10:10 a.m. to 11 a.m., and the Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker airs live every Tuesday, 5:10 to 6 p.m., Wednesday, 3:10 to 4 p.m., and on Sunday, 8:10 until 9 a.m., and if you've missed any program that Pastor Whitaker has done, this one or the Pastor Spot, they are all, every single one of them, on the website, wwgh1071.com. And if you click Show Archive, just scroll down and you will find the dates and the shows.
Got a question.
Go ahead. Oh, you got that. Go ahead.
Are we any time? We're done?
We got about 30 seconds.
Just want to remind everyone to please come to the park on Sunday from 3 to 6. It's going to be a great time. And that festival in the park will be great. Prospect, Ohio, it's not far away. It's just 9 miles south from the center of Marion. So love to see you.
Nine minutes. Thank you both.
If you want to, you can come to church too.
Also, do you have church time Sunday? What time do you go to church, Julia?
9:30 in the morning for Sunday school. And 10:30 for...
And 10:30 for...
Worship.
Well, thank you both for coming in. It's been a pleasure. Brightened up my weekend here. All right. We'll be back next week.
10.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com. Thomas Lawn Service for all your lawn care and landscaping needs. Telephone number 740-751-1783. The WWGH Radio prize policy is as follows. You have 10 days from the day you win the prize to pick the prize up. You can only win once every 30 days. WWGH Radio staff reserves the right to question any and all prize winnings. The WWGH offices are open Monday through Friday, 10 for prize pickup. The WWGH offices are located